The Warriors overcome a slow start, learning to win the tight ones in Gainesboro. The Cavs defense shines. Let's start our round ball conversation in Salina as we bring aboard Clay County head coach Matthew Walker. The Lady Bulldogs with a solid win last night over rival Pickett County, 54-47. Coach, what stood out to you about your team's performance?
I just think we got a lot of contributions from different players. We had one of our starters go out very, very early in the game, and that kind of changed the game plan a little bit. And we had some girls come off the bench and really step up and play some valuable minutes.
When you say contributions, I think people always think about points, but I'm assuming you're talking about contributions in a lot of different ways.
Oh, big time. We took two or three charges last night. We dove on the floor, girls come off the bench and dove on the floor and got some loose balls, some 50-50 balls, and those are huge because anytime you play a good team like Pickett, it could come down to the last possession or two possessions. And anytime you have a girl getting an offensive rebound or a 50-50 ball, that gives your team, one more opportunity than the other team.
When you have adversity, as you had last night, very early in the game, what do you look for as a coach in the ability to kind of overcome that among your players?
I really just try to have some poise. We've got some girls that have played a little bit at this point. We've got some sophomores who've got some minutes last year as freshmen. And, we start one freshman. And at this point in the season, she's played quite a bit of ball as well. So we've got a fairly experienced team. So you'd like to see a team that keeps their poise and, doesn't really get rattled.
You're talking about Bella, I assume. And yeah. 13 points, 7 rebounds last night. That's pretty amazing for a freshman to be able to come in and contribute at the level of basketball that you play. What is it about her that has allowed that to happen?
Well, she's very physically talented. She's tall, long, very athletic. So she's just naturally gifted. But she's also worked hard on her game over the years and has a great skill set. Can shoot the ball, dribble the ball, pass. She brings a lot of things to the table.
And I guess that poise that we were talking about a minute ago, she's got that too?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. The first three or four games of her freshman year, she played okay. She was averaging 6 points, three or four rebounds. And ever since then, she's kind of settled into her role and got that experience, and she's really started to shine over the last four or five games.
Is that one of the things that a young player has to do, is to find the role that kind of fits them when you're coming into a team environment?
Definitely. I want to mention another freshman as well, Hallie Buford. She came off the bench and had 9 points for us last night. And she's the one that doesn't typically play hardly as much just because of our depth at the guard position. But with an injury last night, Hallie is another that stepped up with 9 points and kind of thrust into an unusual role for her, and she stepped up and played really well.
But, gosh, you love that as a coach because it means she's been listening, she's tuned in. Sometimes when you're on the bench and you don't get to play as much, you can kind of tune out as the season wears on.
Oh, definitely. And that, as a coach, it makes you really, really happy because you see kids like that works really hard in practice. Whether they're playing 30 minutes a night and starting, or whether it's only a couple minutes a game, she's still out there every day working hard in practice, listening. She stays after practice and gets some shots up. She's worked really hard, so it's nice to see her come off the bench and really contribute in a very huge district rival.
Matthew Walker is head coach at Clay County on the high school playbook. The rivalry part, and I know it's different this year with not fans in the stands, but can you put into perspective what the Clay-Pickett rivalry is like?
Well, I think it's one of the greatest rivalries in Upper Cumberland. It's really interesting, though, because they've been so good the last several years. I think I heard on the radio last night that since I've been there, we was 2-9 against them. But out of those 11 games, we've been pretty competitive, even when they was at an elite, state tournament level. You know, we've had several games against them come down to the last possession. And then the times that we beat them, you know, it come down to the last possession a couple times as well. So even whenever one of us is really, really good, the other is still right there with them competing.
You guys are back in action today. What's the challenge of the quick turnaround?
Well, we had to use a lot of energy last night. You know, part of that's physical energy, you know, a lot of legs, a lot of effort. And then part of that's emotional energy as well. You know, anytime you get up for a rival, it's a lot of emotional energy. And, you know, today's not just another regular game. Today's a district game. And as you know, this year, they all depend heavily on district seating and where you play those district tournament games. So we've got to have the same physical energy. We've got to have the same emotional energy and, you know, can't get caught up in a trap game.
Yeah, you got to just do the things that are right. And I'm sure you talked about that last night before they left the gym, is go get in bed and get the rest and get up and eat a good breakfast and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah, they're a very mature group, so I expect us to be prepared.
Clay County 54, Pickett County 47. Big game last night in the Upper Cumberland. Clay County head coach Matthew Walker. Coach, thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
DeKalb County girls get the victory over Cannon County Friday night, 54-43. The high school playbook rolls on as we bring in Danny Fish, head coach of the DeKalb County Lady Tigers. Pleased with your performance last night, Coach?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, our kids played hard, and, you know, we were outsized, but the kids, you know, showed some toughness and some grit. You know, we've been looking for that sandpaper grit that we always talk about, and the biggest thing for me last night was that, you know, our main guys were our main guys, but we got better play from our role players last night, you know, and better scoring from our role guys. We've been on a little skid here lately, and it's been, you know, mostly because we've been inconsistent scoring the ball from our role kids. And last night it was great to see, you know, people like Megan Cantrell and Katie Griffith and those guys step up and, you know, have a good game to alleviate some pressure off of, you know, Katie Farrell and Ella Van Vranken. So, yeah, I was very pleased with what, you know, happened last night going on the road at Cannon. It was a great win for us.
And you look at defensively, second quarter, you hold Cannon County to 3 points.
Oh, yeah. We, you know, we got into a trap and we were doing a little trapping. And, you know, that was pretty successful for us. It helped us stretch the lead out there in the first half. You know, our kids, we've been, you know, pretty good defensively. Not great, but pretty good. But, you know, opportunistic and ball hawkish is what we were last night. And I'd like to see that more on a consistent basis. But, yeah, we I was really pleased with our defensive effort last night. You know, going on the road in 8AA is never easy, but going on the road in 8AA and holding your opponent to 40 points or so is a good night.
When you talk role players, what's the biggest challenge of them kind of finding their place in the team and what you want them to do?
Well, you know, sometimes what coaches dictate for you as your role sometimes may not be what you think your role is. And, you know, kind of adjusting, you know, I guess perspective for those kids and, you know, and then being good at that role, you know, being great in it. You know, today you may be asked to be rebounder and passer. Tomorrow you might be asked to score the ball. So whatever that role is, we just want them to try to be as good as possible in it. And, you know, we got a couple kids. They know what their roles are. And you know, when they don't fulfill their roles during that game, you know, it turns into a confidence thing. And that's the thing that those kids have been struggling with, is that they know their roles and, you know, they've not been able to fulfill their roles of what they needed to do. And, you know, became a little heads in or a little five-game skid there. And but last night they seemed to come out of their shell, and I was really pleased and happy for them.
Good teaching point then, that, you know, here's, ladies, what we got to do. That you saw what you did, and here's what happened.
Yeah, they and we watch a lot of film, and we do a lot of study, you know, so the kids know how to get better. You know, the kids are, you know, this team's really young. You know, we only got, you know, two seniors, and, you know, we're, you know, really, application part of it's been, you know, tough at times, but, you know, they applied last night and, hopefully they can continue to apply on a, like I said, a consistent basis.
Milestone, last night, Katie Farrell, 1,000th career point. Can you put that into perspective?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, you've been covering us for the past couple of years and, Katie Farrell is, you know, she's just, she's what we do, you know. I mean, she's the good example. She's a worker. She's coachable. I mean, every intangible that, you know, we talk about in our locker room, she's got it. And she's the last person to be happy, I guess, she wouldn't want any type of acknowledgement. You know, even last night when she scored her 1,000th point, of course, I knew it was coming up. And, you know, I took a time out, and she had nothing, knew nothing about it. And you know, after she scored it, I took a time out, and we came over, and they thought we were going to set up a pressure. And, you know, I just said, hey, man, congratulations. Welcome to the 1,000-point club. And our kids were really, really happy for us. She wouldn't want any she don't like any extra attention. You know, she wants the attention to be about the team and not about her, and I think that's what makes her an even better player.
Isn't that refreshing in today's world?
Oh, mercy, it is, because we're all about me, you know, me, and to find someone that's as selfless as her and as humble as her, it's very refreshing. But our kids feed off that, you know, they're all like that. They don't put themselves in front of the team, and that's the reason why this team's been fun to coach. But, you know, we talk about team all the time, you know, you know, no one person is bigger than the team, not even the coach. The program is the program, and we want the program to be good. And we know that it takes a bunch of people to build a house, you know, and they do a very good job. And, you know, my kids, they're just as selfless as possible. And it's very fun as a coach to know that.
In a night where you put things together, do you mind coming back and playing the next day?
Well, I mean, you know, we're trying, as everything, you know, with, you know, COVID hit people and, you know, some teams have played, you know, 10 more games than we have. So we're just trying to play games and trying to pick up any experience that we can at any time that we can, because, I mean, there's still a lot of games to be played before February, and, you know, we want to be rolling, you know, those last couple of weeks in February. And with such a young team, you know, we're going to turn around, play today at Sequatchie, and we need that game. You know, we need to go ahead and play again. And, you know, right now in our out-of-district games or non-district games, you know, we get to go a little bit deeper in our bench. So, you know, we still got a lot of young players that we're trying to develop, and so it's beneficial that way, you know, to where we can go out of district and maybe do some things that we wouldn't normally do in district play because, you know, I think those are experience getters for everyone.
DeKalb and Sequatchie on the schedule today. DeKalb gets the win over Cannon County, 54-43, Friday night. Coach Danny Fish, as always, thank you, Coach. Friday night, a good night for the Jackson County Blue Devils as they get the win over Red Boiling Springs, 70-36. Head coach Kevin Thomas joins us now. His opinion is the one that counts. Did you feel like it was a good performance, Coach?
I did. I thought the kids come out and did what they needed to do. And, you know, we were able to play everybody. I even dressed the freshmen last night and made sure they were getting some time in to play. We haven't been able to play some JV games because of the pandemic, and we were able to get every player in the program in last night, so I thought that was a good night.
I guess as a coach, even when you're playing an opponent that maybe is outmatched, that's what you want to see is do your guys take care of business?
That's exactly right. We talked about doing what we needed to do and playing the way we want to play, and you know, sometimes it takes a mature team to do that, and I think these kids are really growing up. I really think so. I don't know if all the adversity's helped in that situation, and having two seniors, it's just their third year really playing, starting, I guess. And then we got a group of juniors there. I've got about four juniors that are just, you know, they're very, very team-oriented, and it really helps.
You had three guys in double figures last night, and it feels like every time that I see a story at UC Sports Nation about your team, you have multiple guys in double figures. Is that kind of what you want?
Yes, we're really multiple right now offensively. I mean, usually our four is going to go through Ramon Cuevas and Jordan Arroyo and Eli Burris and Chris Pigg for the most part, you know, and those are our four main ones. And there's been several nights that those four are in double figures or, you know, really, really close, at least three and one with six or eight. So, you know, they all have the ability to score the ball in different ways.
Coach Kevin Thomas, where do you feel like your team is right now, offensively, defensively, all put together?
Well, you know, we offensively, I think we're a little bit ahead of what we are defensively. We're trying to get better. We're trying to be a little multiple defensively to help ourselves with that situation. I really like the way where we're at. We're rebounding the ball really well, especially we've got about two kids that are really, really good offensive rebounders that makes a difference for us, I think, in helping us score points. You know, right now I think the biggest thing with our team is these kids have never been in a situation where they have, you know, they were winning games, but we've lost the two big games. We were ahead of the Clay County and Pickett at half. We were tied with Clay at the end of the third, and we go into the fourth, and we go 4-14 from free throw line. We've got to understand we've got to learn how to win those big games. You know, those games that are against the top tier teams when we're right there knocking on the door, but we have to learn how to win those the games. If it's, you know, if it's one of those things of not being tight when it comes down to the, you know, the end, or believing that you're supposed to be there and believing that you're good enough to win those games.
Kevin Thomas is head coach at Jackson County, and that part of the game is so frustrating. If there were a book that you could pull off the shelf and hand to them how to win tight games, you would have done that. It's just, it really is internal, isn't it, to each guy?
It is. It is. Each guy to his own. And you know, and I've got some kids that are really confident, you know, that's played, like my two seniors, Eli and Chris Pigg, they're two confident kids. You know, what we have to continue to do is, you know, those two sophomores that we play and Ramon is a junior. I mean, those kids are the ones that really have to mature and understand that they're pretty good basketball players. And, you know, and for us to get where we need to be in February, we need their confidence level to be there every night.
You mentioned rebounding, and we're in a world where it's all about highlights and shooting threes and dunks and all of that sort of thing. But at the heart, guys that can rebound and like doing that and do it well, boy, it does so much for your basketball team.
It really does. I tell you, this is, you know, I guess I've been a head coach now going on, 22 years probably. And I've had some really good basketball teams in my time in Shelbyville, and I won't have to put this team up there in probably my top five of all time rebounding the basketball. I mean, we got some kids that want to go get the ball, and that's what it comes down to. And it's a pleasure to watch them. I mean, they really, really go after the basketball, and on the offensive end, you see guys going from one side of the lane to the other to go get a rebound, or guys coming in off the perimeter to go get a rebound, and it's you know, that's an offense in itself. And I try to tell them that there's some teams their best offense is offensive rebounding, and we're trying to get to that point to where, you know, that is a big thing for us that we can score points.
And there's obviously technique, but it's more than anything, it's a want to, isn't it?
I agree. It is. It's, you know, those guys that's got a knack for going to get the ball. But, you know, if you got that knack and you got the want to, you can be a good rebounder, because, you know, there's a lot of kids want to watch that fly to that ball and not pay attention to what their man's doing and doesn't get a box out. And if you're going, you've got an opportunity.
Jackson County wins over Red Boiling Springs, 70-36, the final score. Head coach Kevin Thomas, we always appreciate you, Coach. Thanks for visiting with us.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate what you do.
White County Warriors get the win over Coffee County last night, 70-55. The high school playbook continues on a Saturday morning as we bring aboard head coach Eric Mitchell. Coach, how'd you grade your team's performance Friday night?
The first half we got off to a slow start. Of course, Coffee County's a solid physical team, and we haven't played since a week ago Wednesday in Florida, and then the trip, our Tuesday night game against Wilson Central got canceled. So, but the second half we came out, and my seniors played, they stepped it up, played really well, and I have a couple sophomores come in, Jake Davis and Thomas Paul. They picked up the slack and done a pretty good job. But it's any time in this day and age with there was very few people there. It's really, really weird feeling starting a game, in Roy Soule Gymnasium with that few of people there. So, but we stepped it up and what we had to do to get a win.
I know coaches hate excuses, but is it hard to get energy when the gym is like that?
You know, I would certainly think so. I mean, it's just a different atmosphere for us in that gym, because Roy Soule, when it's packed and rocking, it's just a place like no other gym that you played in. And I know a lot of people say that, but about their gyms, but it's just the bottom bleachers are not pulled out. It was parents only, you know, Coffee County and us, and it was a different feeling. But you know, they found a way in the second half. We came out, I think we're up 2 at half, and held them to 8 points in the third, and you know, played some really good defense. And I would imagine it would be hard, but we're just doing all we can. And we're just to get the games played, and we're just thankful we're getting to play.
Let me ask you about a couple of your guys. Cade Clark, what has he done with his game?
Well, Cade is just he's one of those. He's 6'4", 6'5", and you know, he's a big physical. You know, he's played football 4 years, and I think that's part of it. You know, he's probably the all-time, well, I know he is, he's all-time charge drawing charges in White County history. I mean, he gets 2 to 3 a game, and he's a great rebounder. He can handle ball. He's not shooting it real well right now, but he's getting extra shots up. And you know, I think it's just a mental thing right now, and hopefully he'll come out of that when next week when district play starts. But he just brings a different element to the basketball team that no one else has got. I mean, you know, just he's going to be sorely missed next year. I can tell you that with all the little things he does.
You know, someone that has that ability to draw charges, and if you're the opponent, it's kind of like, you know, we gotta stay away from him, but he draws you in.
He does. I mean, he's just he's always willing to slide over and take that hit. And you know, we have a drill where we practice that. And you know, and it's it hurts to take a charge. And you know, I tell them just when they hit you, just fall and don't take the full blow. But it seems like Tate stands right in there every time. So. You know, it's just it's a unique art, and I've been very fortunate to have several players, especially at White County. I've had centers, on 2015 when we went to the state, I had Alan Newport who was standing there like that too. But Cade has took it to a whole new level. If he doesn't get 3 a game, it's a miracle for the other team. So, I mean, but it's just a game changer. It a lot of times it wipes the basket off. We get the ball back, and it's a personal foul on the team. So we're just very proud of Caden. I'm thank goodness he stands in there and takes those.
Maybe it's that football thing he's got going on, you know, that contact.
It's definitely a toughness thing, I can tell you that, because it hurts to take a charge.
Daniel Gentry, 9 last night. One of his better games of the season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Daniel has played his role to a T this year. I mean, he sat on the bench for 3 years and waited his turn and worked hard. And, he's got up a lot of extra shots in the last couple weeks, and it paid off last night. He really, Coffee County came out on fire, and we were, I think, you know, the layoff that we had, we were a step slow, and he really ignited in the second quarter. You know, he hit 2 back-to-back threes there in the second quarter and just really kept us in the game and gave us the opportunity to come out in the second half and play some really good defense and get going.
Eric Mitchell is head coach of the White County Warriors. As you really get into the heart of district play, where do you feel like you are as a basketball team right now?
Well, you know, I hope we're, you know, we played really well in the Sonic Shootout. We went to Florida and played really well, got to the championship game and ran into an NBA team who's probably one of the better teams I've ever coached against. They have no weaknesses, you know, so, you know, I want to hope. I mean, Warren County, we started off with them. We went 2-2 against them last year. They beat us on two last second shots. They've had a long layoff, but, you know, they've got CJ Taylor and Dee Spates and Coach Sullins does a great job. So we're on the road down there and playing in front, you know, not playing in front of a crowd. They're, you know, I would think it would be a little easier down there because their student section's right on the floor and they do a really good job. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to tell where we're at right now. You know, we've got some young players. We do have Grant Slanton. Thank goodness. That's a good thing. But hopefully we're right in the mix, and I think our district's going to be really tough. Stone's really good. Cookville's playing really well, and Warren County's really good. And, you know, hopefully we're right in the mix.
Yeah, I think about Grant, and you mentioned CJ. And there's just so much individual talent right now in the Upper Cumberland. It's just a shame people aren't getting to see it night in and night out at the gym.
I'll tell you, the Upper Cumberland is – you know, it's always been, I've lived here all my life and got friends in every county, you know, played at Pickett County and went to Tech and, you know, Cookville's kind of the hub of the Upper Cumberland. Everybody goes there to shop, goes there to eat from all the surrounding counties. And the Upper Cumberland, and it's always been kind of known for girls basketball, but boys basketball in the Upper Cumberland the last several years has been really outstanding. And you know, with all the great players, and there's a really good players, you know, this year, and it is a shame that they don't get to see it, but, you know, it's the world we live in right now, and you know, a lot of people are streaming, so hopefully people are watching that on the internet or TV or whatever they get it to. But it's a shame, and we just hope it gets back to some normalcy after this year. So
absolutely. White County Coach Eric Mitchell getting set to get into the heart of district play. Coach, good job last night, and good luck the rest of the way.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for having me.
The Cumberland-Stone Memorial rivalry, another episode in that showdown last night. The high school playbook continues as we bring in Stone Memorial head coach Neil Capps. Cumberland County gets the best of things last night, 71-62 over Stone Memorial. Coach, as you assessed your team's performance, what did you see?
Well, we have been playing really well. I mean, our record is indicative of that. We've been playing pretty good. We had played them the first time and really had our way. You know, we put up 102 points and wound up winning by 29. And I knew they have good players. I knew that they have pride in what they do over there, and I knew it was going to be a much harder fought battle at their place last night. It boils down to little things. You know, we had, 7 fourth quarter turnovers at crucial times, and, they were able to capitalize off those at that. You know, we went from a 7-point lead, halfway through the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden you turn around and we're down 2. And a lot of that is contributed to just untimely turnovers, missed executions, but PCHS played really hard. They competed. You know, they had their mistakes too, but it was a game of just back and forth momentum. And at the right time, they were able to capitalize off our errors and pull away.
Strikes me, and I know you'd rather teach off of a win than a loss, but all the little things you're talking about, what a great teaching point for your basketball team of, see, guys, this is all of these things add up.
No question, and that's what we've been talking about all year. We've played a really tough schedule. I don't think anybody would argue with us on that one. I think the first 6 losses of the year were to teams with, you know, way over 500 records. And those little things that we would always talk about, they matter. They build up. It's not one big thing. It wasn't one big play. It's never one big play. It's always just it's accumulation of a bunch of little things. The missed box out, or going after a ball with one hand instead of two, or, you know, a poor post feed that gets deflected and a turnover, or a missed execution offensively off a half court set, where there's miscommunication and somebody throws it out. It's just it's a bunch of little things like that. One little error doesn't ever hurt you. One little mistake doesn't hurt you. It's just that accumulation of several throughout the game that builds up to winds up being the formula that gets you beat.
Will Hecker was 16 for you last night. Where has his game evolved?
Will has made marketed improvements on all areas of his game. He really got to play a little bit his sophomore year and really got confidence. And then last year he was a really good sixth man for us coming off the bench. And then this year he's really stepped into that leadership role. Will can score at all three levels. Will can, you know, knock down the three. Will can hit the mid-range jumper. He likes getting downhill and getting to the rim. He's just really improved, put a lot of time in his game. And, you know, this is a kid also that works. He has a job on the side. He's worked the same job for every year for the past 3 years, where he has to go out and, you know, he has to get with me and say, Coach, I got to go to work at this time. I got to go work at that time. So we'll adjust our practice schedule for Will because, you know, he's the man of his house, and he's got a lot on him, and he puts a lot into it, and he does a wonderful job at time management on keeping all that everything in perspective and keeping everything and doing a good, high quality job at both his job and basketball, and he's a straight A student. So
wow.
He just really put a lot of work. He does a really good job in a lot of areas, and you can't do nothing but really applaud it, a young man like that.
You just love that. You love that dedication and the leadership.
Absolutely. There's no question. He's a leader on and off the floor. He's not perfect. He made some mistakes. He let his temper get the best of him a few games ago, and it cost him a few games. But, you know, even at that, Will handled it the right way. He learned from it. So hopefully he continues to improve. He was really tore up last night after the game, came to me, and he's wanting to know what we could do to be better, what we could do to, as we enter into district play, he wanted to know what we can do to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So his leadership is really good right now. He's really put, you know, that's a culmination of several years of just being under some good people, some good players, and learning from them, and he cares a lot, and he wants to make sure that things are run the right way, and he's doing a good job.
Stone Memorial's Neil Capp. So let's build on his question. Where do you what do you need to do now as you kind of take that second step into the season and really get into the heart of the play that counts?
Well, we got a lot of really good pieces on our team. We play about 9 kids, and that we get good contributions of all. And if you look back at our games that we've lost, we haven't been able to finish down the stretch. Either lack of execution, lack of knocking down shots, or untimely turnovers. But I tell you what, we compete and put ourselves in those situations. And just like anything else, when you emphasize taking care of the basketball and you emphasize execution and you continue to work on it, it's going to click, and we're going to continue to work on it. We're going to continue to put an emphasis on finishing games smartly, wisely, making good decisions. And that's going to carry over throughout the season. And hopefully by February, we're really tough. We'll be a really tough team to get rid of. Because of our ability to finish games.
Stone Memorial Coach Neil Capps, final Friday night, Cumberland 71, Stone Memorial 62. Coach, thank you for the visit.
You're very welcome. Thank you, guys, and we appreciate everything you guys did.
Cookeville Cavaliers getting set to take on Mount Juliet today. Head coach Jamie Gillis joins us on the High School Playbook. Coach, it's been kind of an unsettled week for you with a COVID cancellation Friday night. Where do you feel like your team is right now?
Well, we've lost three straight, and we played a Macon County team that's really, really good, and ended up losing to them in the last minute, and then got beat by a really good team out of Ohio, and then came back this last week and lost a close one to York. So we're needing to turn some things around and get back in the win column.
Do the last minute losses concern you?
Well, honestly, I play hard teams pre-district so that we can learn in those 1 minute situations. So hopefully we learn from what we did wrong, what we need to do. So it's concerning, but we also use every loss and everything as a learning experience, learning moment. We'll go back and watch it in film, see what we need to do to be different, and hopefully the kids learn from it.
To that point, can you explain for the average fan that maybe didn't play, what's the difference in a one-minute situation or even a 90-second situation in a real game versus trying to simulate that in practice?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough, and we've done that a lot this week. But trying to get back that feel, you know, that there's you can't get that adrenaline rush in practice, but you know, we can work on it over and over again. And so that way, at least everybody knows the situation. They know the scenario. Everybody knows what's expected of them. And then, you know, just trying to go out there and execute it. We do our very best, but there's absolutely no way to mimic what it feels like when you're really in that game and the game's on the line.
And you said adrenaline rush. And I think that's an interesting term because as much as anything, you have to manage your adrenaline and kind of stop and assess where you are and I got to do this and that.
Right. And we're talking about 15, 16, 17 year old girls. So them having to, you know, manage their emotions, their adrenaline and make good decisions. You know, that's a big piece of it. And not just one, you're asking five of them to do that and to trust each other in that moment. And, against York, Jordan Gillis, my daughter, missed a key free throw that would have tied the game. And one of the warmed my heart more than anything was seeing every single player come to that locker room and come to her and pat her on the leg, pat her on the shoulder and say, shake it off. We thought you had it. We wanted you to have the ball at the end, you know. And so even though there's heartbreaking moments like that, you can turn it around with pure joy for how these kids treat each other and love each other and care for each other.
Yeah, and because each one of them understands that it could be them in that situation that doesn't make the play.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of players that don't get that message. Is there a commonality in the last stretch of games of things that you're not doing as well as you would like to do?
No, not really. We're not closing out, I guess, is kind of one thing, but just trying to make shots, make good decisions down the stretch. I mean, that's what we really talked about this last week and really tried to work on is, you know, who we want the ball with. The big thing again is making sure everybody knows the situation, everybody knows what's supposed to happen and, you know, where the ball needs to be and things like that. So just logistical things we're trying to work through.
Coaches worry about everything, I know, but do you worry about in this situation confidence?
Yeah, because you worry about kids losing confidence if it doesn't go our way, you know, and then how do you keep that up and, trying to make sure everybody knows on my team, if you're on the floor, I trust you to take the shot, you know, and we may run a play that's specific for one or two players, but, you know, throughout the game, if you're open, I expect you to shoot it and I expect you to, you know, pull your weight. And so there's that equal parts that we have and we're just trying to make sure that they manage that and understand and keep that confident.
Finally, Jamie Gillis, head coach at Cookeville, the Cavaliers taking on Mount Juliet today. After this game, what does your week look like ahead?
Well, we've got Sparta next Friday, and we actually don't have a game right now, but with COVID changes, we could possibly pick up a game between now and Friday, but right now we have off until Friday, and, you know, that's Cookeville's biggest rival is Sparta, so it's Sparta week, and we'll get real excited, and our practices will be intense for that game, and It will be different this year because of the limited amount of fans that can be in there. And so that could be an obstacle. You know, we're playing at Sparta next week, so maybe that'll help us a little bit. But it's still that's the most exciting game of the year for us because of the crowd and how big of a game it is. So it'll be different, but it's still Sparta, so we're still going to play it like it's our last.
Let's talk some Clark Range basketball as we bring in head coach Shane Mundy. Tough outing last night for your team, Coach. What did you see in the performance?
Well, we dug a hole early. First quarter, they scored 26 against us. And, you know, from that point on, we was playing behind the rest of the game. They shot the ball really well, Trousdale did, and just came out and had 10 turnovers the first quarter. And, you know, that was one of our goals we talked about when we played Trousdale. We wanted to keep our turnovers lower than they have been, and it just didn't happen.
I guess as a coach, if you could figure out when slow starts are going to happen, you'd have a diagnosis of how to stop that. Is it just one of those things that hard for your team to overcome right now?
Well, we're 2-9, and we've been every game besides the two wins that we've had, we've played from behind from the first quarter. And the main thing that's our trouble right now is our reaction time. We're finally getting our offenses going, and the kids are getting what we want to do, but we're just reacting too slow. When we get to the place where we can get the ball where we need to score, reverse the ball when we need to get a good shot off, it's there, but then we don't react quick enough to get the ball to where it needs to be, and the defense gets to where they need to be. And it's making it tough on us. Our reaction time is just not where it needs to be to even on defense. We're trying to fill in on what defense we want to play, and we played different defenses trying to with the personnel that we have on the floor. And if we just ever get over that hump, I think we could be more competitive to get the games to be closer. We've not played, you know, it's at halftime when you're behind 20 or 15, and you're just trying, you have to adjust to try to get scoring in some different form. It's hard sometimes, especially for us.
Yeah, and it makes you kind of get away from the things that really maybe are your strengths because you're just trying to find points any way you can.
We are, and it's like I said, it's a struggle for us right now. They're still working hard, you know, and we're coming into practice and we're trying to fix things and adjust on things. Seems like when we get one leak plugged, another one pops up, but we're still, you know, still working, trying to adjust on these things.
What does your schedule look like this week?
Well, it's going to be, we got three district games this week, and they're going to be, you know, we got Jackson, it's a makeup game. We got Jackson at home Monday night, and of course, Jackson boys are playing really good right now. So it's going to be a tough game, but we got them at home Monday night, then we go to Gordonsville on Tuesday. And then Friday night, we have Red Bowling at home. So we've got three big district games for us this week.
Going to be a busy week for your basketball team, but right now I guess playing is the best elixir for trying to get the experience that you need.
Yeah, as we talked before, you know, I'm glad everyone's getting to play. I'm glad we're getting to get on the floor. The main thing is just trying to keep building on what we've got. I mean, I know it's just tough sometimes, you know. Right at this point of the season, if it was just, I don't know if you call it a normal season or a normal year or whatever you want to call it, you know, after Christmas, you should be settled into what you're doing. But it's just different. I know it's different for everybody, but we're just going to have to keep on trying to find ways to score. Right now, we're just, you know, turnovers is our biggest factor right now. If we could ever get our turnovers cut down, I think we could be more competitive. And that's what we're trying to do.
Clark Range coach Shane Mundy, as always, coach, thank you for joining us on the High School Playbook.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.